This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik Daily News Brief for Thursday, May 14th, 2020. FISA gets renewed, but with a Latin amendment. Del Cameron from Gizmodo reports a bipartisan amendment that would have prohibited law enforcement agencies, such as the FBI, from obtaining the web browsing and internet search histories of Americans without a warrant failed to pass in the U.S. Senate on Wednesday by a single vote. 27 Republicans and 10 Democrats voted against the amendment to H.R. 6172, which will reauthorize lapsed surveillance powers under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA. The amendment offered up by Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, and Senator Steve Daines, Republican of Montana, would have forced the government to get a warrant before obtaining the internet search history of Americans. Sounds like a good idea. Under Section 215 of the Act, the government can compel phone companies and internet service providers to turn over such data if it is deemed vaguely relevant to a terrorism or counter-espionage case. In December, an inspector general report outlined what the New York Times' Charlie Savage called a staggering, dysfunctional, and error-ridden process in reference to the FBI's procurement of a FISA wiretap warrant for Carter Page, the former Trump campaign advisor. The litany of problems with the FBI surveillance applications, Hina Shamsi, director of the ACLU's National Security Project, said at the time, quote, demonstrates how the secrecy shrouding the government's one-sided FISA approval process breeds abuse. For far too long, the Patriot Act and the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, commonly referred to as FISA, have been used to trample the civil liberties of American citizens, Daines said in a floor speech on Tuesday morning. But the final vote on Wyden-Daines' amendment was 59-37 in the Senate. 60 ayes were required for it to pass. Members had to be physically present to vote. Among the 27 Republicans who voted against the amendment were Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, Mitt Romney, Republican for Utah, and Marco Rubio, Republican for Florida. Four members did not cast their votes, including Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont and Senator Ben Sasse from Nebraska. Now, later in the day, a separate amendment proposed by Senator Mike Lee, Republican from Utah, and Patrick Leahy, Democrat from Vermont, was passed by the Senate. It includes various provisions designed to protect Americans and their civil liberties, but it was definitely a watered-down protection. Among other reforms to the role of amicus curiae, that's the Latin I was referring to, the amendment requires the FISA court to appoint one or more individuals with privacy and civil liberties expertise in cases that raise significant concerns with respect to First Amendment-protected activities. So, the FISA has been renewed. It doesn't require a warrant, which has a certain threshold of evidence needed. Instead, it requires this amicus curiae. It requires a third-party, non-biased opinion. Someone who can review and double-check for First Amendment liabilities. It further enshrines specific requirements for the mandatory disclosure of exculpatory material, saying the government must bring forth any information that might reasonably call into question the accuracy of the surveillance application or any information that would otherwise raise doubts with respect to the findings required under the application process. That is a direct attack or shot at the Carter Page FISA extravaganza debacle. Sean Vitka, a senior policy counsel at Demand Progress, called the amendment's passage a major victory for American civil liberties, despite the Wyden-Daines amendment being shot down earlier in the afternoon. The Lee-Leahy amendment ensures an independent voice has access to and can raise issues with FISA surveillance targeting religious groups, political groups, and the media. The underlying bill remains broken, Vitka said, but adoption of the Lee-Leahy Amendment represents a privacy victory well beyond what many believed to be possible. Next up, speaking of victories for freedom, Wisconsin Supreme Court has struck down Governor Tony Evers' extended stay-at-home order. Washington Post reports the Wisconsin Supreme Court sided with legislators on Wednesday, striking down the decision by the administration of Governor Tony Evers to extend his stay-at-home orders. The 4-3 decision limits the Democratic governor's ability to make statewide rules during emergencies. instead requiring him to work with the state legislature. How about that? On how the state should handle the outbreak. Oh, you know, the people who are voted in to make the laws. That actually makes sense. The justices wrote that it was not challenging the governor's power to declare emergencies, but, quote, in the case of a pandemic which lasts month after month, the governor cannot rely on emergency powers indefinitely. That's glorious. Evers, like most other governors, issued a stay-at-home order to slow the spread of COVID-19. As the April 24th end date approached, Evers' administration decided to extend the order until May 26th. Shortly thereafter, state lawmakers sued Evers and Andrea Palm, head of the state health department, arguing that a decision with such a long-term impact on citizens' lives should be made in concert with the legislature. Again, that makes a lot of sense. Though the court ruled in the legislature's favor, the justices stayed their decision through May 20th in order to give the administration time to request the legislature's approval. The state's highest court heard virtual arguments last week, and several justices signaled in their questions that they believed Evers' administration's orders were an overreach of executive power. Isn't it the very definition of tyranny for one person to order people to be imprisoned for going to work among other ordinarily lawful activities? Justice Rebecca Bradley asked in court proceedings. I think so. That probably is the definition of tyranny, and I hope other state legislators are taking note. And governors, you might want to seriously rethink what you've done. Next up, David Daladan of the Center for Medical Progress has sued the pants off California, alleging they have conspired to violate his constitutional rights over the past several years. David Daladan, the founder of the Center for Medical Progress, became internationally known 5 years ago when he began publishing secretly recorded videos of high-ranking Planned Parenthood officials appearing to admit that the organization was selling aborted fetal body parts to medical research companies, a violation of federal law, and something that's simply disgusting and grotesque. Maybe you remember the hashtags, Planned Parenthood sells baby parts, another boy, and so on. The videos, which launched congressional inquiries and ultimately led to Planned Parenthood refusing to receive any more reimbursements for fetal tissue samples, have been the subject of acrimonious legal and political battles over the past half decade. California authorities claim that Daladan violated state statute regarding the confidential recordings. So, ordinarily, media can record and so forth, but if you're doing it in order to expose the atrocities of the abortion industry, that's illegal in California. In a press release on Wednesday announcing the lawsuit, the Center for Medical Progress claimed that Kamala Harris, then the Attorney General of California, targeted Daladan's speech under the video recording law at the urging of Planned Parenthood, ooh, conspiracy, the National Abortion Federation, and Stem Express, the fetal tissue procurement company with deep ties to the professional abortion industry. While running for U.S. Senate, Harris had a secret in-person meeting with Planned Parenthood executives in Los Angeles, including witnesses in her investigation, to discuss issues in the investigation as part of Planned Parenthood's political agenda in California. Are you catching this? Kamala Harris met with Planned Parenthood in the process of getting ready to prosecute Daladan. 2 weeks later, Daladan's home was raided by the California Department of Justice. The organization claims among the requests of the lawsuit is a permanent injunction against the enforcement of the state's recording law. And good on Daladan and the Center for Medical Progress. God bless their efforts. And this is just me speculating, but I would not at all be surprised if this has been the plan all along. That is, to sue California, sue the pants off them. Remember, Daladan is an extremely talented and intelligent man who posed as a fetal parts dealer, went undercover in order to expose the gruesome atrocities taking place in abortion clinics across our nation. He has been on the receiving end of judicial monkey shines, like literally a monkey house trial over the last couple of years in California, with California judges basically making up rules as they go along. So what are the chances that Daladan has been meekly sort of playing along, taking their nonsense while carefully recording everything, documenting everything, videotaping everything, making sure he's getting enough rope to hang them all with? I don't know. I think the chances are quite good. Watch and see. I just want to add here something I've posted online previously, and that is that if this whole corona crazy has demonstrated one thing, it's that our state governors do actually believe they have the power to declare states of emergency and martial law and close things down. Right, that's what they've been doing that. They are terribly mistaken for most of these declarations and shutdowns. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. It's unconstitutional, immoral, unjust. But I would argue that the murder of unborn babies should be considered an emergency. And some brave governor really ought to declare a state of emergency over that immediate threat to the lives of the smallest citizens in his state and immediately order all the abortion clinics in his state shut down. They are immediately and directly hazardous to the lives of unborn babies. Every governor, especially the ones who call themselves Christians, who participated in this COVID shutdown, has completely forfeited their right to say that nothing can be done about abortion. Ha! Sorry, bud. You just demonstrated that you absolutely can shut everything down. And so, if you won't, it's because you're a spineless coward. This is Toby Sumter with Cross Politic News. You can find this and all of our shows at crosspolitic.com or fightlaughfeast.com or on our app, which you can download at your favorite app store. Just search Fight Laugh Feast. Our app is the only way to get in the bullpen with Mark Dewey, but it also has all the rest of our shows just neatly broken out. You can click on each one. You can see the latest episodes. It's brilliant. It's good. It's great. It's huge. It's amazing. Support Rowdy Christian Media. Become a Fight Laugh Feast club member. And there's a brand new high five level. That's high five means you can sign up for $5. You don't get a t-shirt for $5, but you do get access to some of our behind the scenes interviews and stuff. It's not as cool as the other membership things because you don't get that t-shirt. If you want the t-shirt, you got to sign up for at least $10 a month. And then you get a Fight Laugh Feast t-shirt and a bunch of other cool stuff and access to all of our stuff. You also, if you are a member, get $100 off your registration for our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference, which is coming up in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st through the 3rd. Go to fightlaughfeast.com and register now. Have a great day.